As a wife, Shannon Popkin faces a lot of temptation to control her husband, but she's discovered the joy of giving up that control to the Lord.
God has so blessed me every time that I let my husband lead, every time that I choose to surrender. God shaped my heart and He gave me contentment. And that's what He does when we surrender to Him.
This is the Revive Our Hearts podcast with Nancy DeMoss Walgamuth, author of Adorned, for April 22nd, 2025. I'm Dana Gresh.
Well, we're talking about a topic this week that I think maybe every one of us as women, men also, I don't want to leave them out, but I think as women, we wrestle with this in varying ways, varying degrees, and it's this whole issue of wanting to control our circumstances, the people, the situations around us, the outcome of our lives, to fix everything, to make it right. Well, we're talking with our guest, Shannon Popkin, who has written a book that has been very helpful to me, and I think to many other women as well, and it's called simply Control Girl. So maybe when you hear that, you're thinking, well, that's somebody else I know. That's not me. I think as you start to read and think about it, you may realize there's more inside of us of this control girl than we realize. The subtitle of this book, Control Girl, Shannon, is Lessons, which implies that it's something we have to learn. Mm-hmm. It doesn't come naturally. Lessons on surrendering. That's a big word you use in this book. We're going to come back to that again. Mm-hmm. Surrendering your burden of control. Mm-hmm. Control really is a burden when we feel like it all falls on us, isn't it?
It is, yeah.
And you've talked about some lessons on surrendering your burden of control based on what you've learned from 7 women in the Bible. Mm-hmm. Lots more we could learn about these women. These are just vignettes, mm-hmm. but you talk about 7 of those women, and we're going to look at one of them today and another one tomorrow. But I want to go back to a situation you describe. I thought it was very poignant. I've heard you describe this about when you were sitting in a Bible study mm-hmm. with a group of women. And you asked them for the burdens that were on their heart, and tell us what they shared and how that impacted you.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, I asked them if they would share prayer requests related to a relationship struggle they were having. And I thought maybe we would hear about some parenting struggles or marriage, but instead, every single woman around the table that day shared about a very controlling mom or a very controlling mother-in-law. And as they were talking, I sensed that God was saying something to me, because I had begun to think about my own control issues and see the tension that my desire for control was creating. But I had been thinking of it in the short term. I had been thinking about how it was affecting my relationships right then, right now. I wasn't thinking about it in the long term. I wasn't thinking about how this would affect who I become and affect the long-term relationships in my extended family. And so after the women shared that day, I leaned into the table and I said, "You guys, how do we make sure that we don't become them? You know, we've just heard all of these stories about these women who I don't think they're intending to be a burden.
Sure.
I don't think they're trying to create tension and turmoil in the relationships. And yet their desire for control, it's like a burden on the shoulders of their daughters and their daughter-in-laws. How do we make sure that we don't become them
in the 20 years from now?
Yes.
It's not our daughters who are given these prayer requests.
Exactly. Yeah. How do we make sure that that doesn't happen? Because I don't think anybody intends to become that. But I'm convinced that if I just give full vent to this desire for control that wells up inside of me, that is who I will become. Mm. It's kind of inevitable. I think it's just this problem that metastasizes slowly over time without us even recognizing it. And unless we consciously choose to take a different path, to choose surrender, I think that over time this is what happens. We do become more and more controlling. God just lets us take our own path of selfishness, and
which is the worst thing that could happen to us, is for God to let us just go on in that pathway.
Yes.
And for years, you didn't really think of control issues as your struggle. You identified, for example, with an issue with anger,
mm-hmm.
and you didn't see the connection between that and control. How did that start to become clear to you?
Yeah, I think anger was the main thing I was thinking about. I was reading books about anger and asking friends to pray for me. And one day I was driving in the car listening to Dee Bruston on the radio, and she was talking about how there are these surface level sins like anger or anxiety or fear, perfectionism, those sorts of things that they're readily apparent. Mm-hmm. We can see those in our hearts. Then she talked about how sometimes there's a deeper core sin, a deeply rooted sin that's feeding these other sins.
But maybe not as easy to identify.
Yes, not as easy to identify. And she mentioned the sin of control. And in an instant, I knew that was my problem, that my anger was stemming from this desire, this deep-seated desire for control. So I learned to start asking myself these questions, to connect those two, mm-hmm. because it was very easy for me to see my anger. And so I started asking, when I feel the anger rising or the anxiety rising or these other negative emotions, asking, is there something I'm trying to control here?
Or someone.
Or someone, yes. Or do I feel like I'm losing control of someone or a situation? And more often than not, yes, control was at the root. It was the core issue. And until I started dealing with the control, I was not able to get traction with my anger. And so I just invite women to start looking at those emotions that bubble to the surface and ask, could control be this deeper seated issue that's feeding these other issues that are easier to see?
Yeah, yeah. Now, when we start talking about this thing of control, and especially in parenting and in the home and in the workplace, it could sound like we're saying, you know, you're just supposed to be irresponsible, let everything go, okay, sera, sera.
Mm-hmm.
And that's not what you're saying. That's not what God's word is saying. You talk about a principle that you learned from another writer who wrote a parenting book mm-hmm. that's been helpful to you, and I thought it was helpful as I read. You talk about two different kinds of problems.
Mm-hmm.
Why don't you explain it?
Sure. Yeah, I'm referring to Dr. Tim Sanford, wrote a book called Losing Control and Liking It. It's a parenting book, and he divides all of life into two categories. So on one side of the line is the things I can control, and on the other side of the line, everything else.
And so you identify what you can control and what you can't control, and then how do you handle those mm-hmm. two different situations?
Yeah, Dr. Sanford suggests a response of hold. So picture cupping your hands and holding responsibility for yourself on the one side in the category of what I can control. And on the other side, with all the things I can't control, picture folding your hands in surrender, in prayer, and giving God all of those things that we can't control. So what I've learned about myself and other control girls is we tend to do exactly the opposite. So rather than folding our hands in surrender, we try to grab control. We try to grip control and get it into our own hands.
We feel we're losing it or
yes,
something that we can't control.
Absolutely. And then with ourselves over on this other side of the line, rather than holding control of
taking
myself,
responsibility.
Yes, we tend to fling that out the window.
You know,
we lose control of ourselves, especially in the areas of anger and anxiety. We don't have control over ourselves. And so there's some irony there. Rather than taking control for ourselves, which we could do, we're losing control of ourselves and we're trying to control the very things that we cannot control.
And that really requires changing the way we think. Because our behavior is not going to change. Our
mm-hmm.
anger, our anxiety, the things that flow out of trying to control things we can't control. We're not going to be able to change that if we don't change the way we think. How have you seen God bring that kind of process about in your life? And I know it's not a finished thing, it's a continuing mm-hmm. thing, but what's helping you begin to release to God the things that need to be released, fold your hands in prayer about those things, and yet maintain responsibility over the things you can control?
Mm-hmm. Yeah, I think sometimes it helps to think about, okay, which category does this fit in? Is this something that I do have influence over? Is this something where I can take responsibility for part of this situation? And which parts do I need to put into that other category and surrender control to God? Can I talk a moment about parenting?
Sure.
Because I think that's always what comes out of these conversations. What about kids? Because I think good moms, we do. We take control of our children. So what I like to say with parenting is when you get that new little baby from the hospital, you're mostly holding, you know, you do have a lot of influence over that baby.
Right.
But by the time that they're graduating, you're mostly folding.
Praying like crazy.
Praying like crazy. Yes, I have a daughter who's a freshman in college, and oh my goodness, I'm spending a lot of time in prayer for her. But all of those years in between, you know, from birth to 18, all of those years, they're spent transferring from holding to folding. And it takes so much wisdom in the little situations in life to know, is this something, you know, he wants to pick out his own clothes at 7 years old. Is this something that I should be holding responsibility for or folding in surrender to God? And another little way that I say to think about it is, if you can still hold your child in your lap, you should mostly be holding. If you can't hold your child in your lap, or they're too independent to want to sit in your lap, then you got to really get to work on folding your hands in surrender.
Which doesn't mean you abdicate as a parent.
It does not.
And that requires just, I'm thinking of a sister with five now young adult kids, but as those kids were little and then teenagers and now even as young adults, there are a lot of situations where we were on the phone last night late and she's saying, in this situation with this child or this situation with this child, how much influence do I bring to bear as a parent? Mm-hmm. And that takes a lot of wisdom. And where does wisdom come from?
Oh, from the Lord.
Comes from the Lord. Mm-hmm. And this whole thing of meditation on the Word of God.
Yes.
Talk about how that enables us to deal with this surrender in the appropriate moments and yet the holding on to responsibility when we should.
I think that surrender is only possible when we're reminding ourselves what is true about God. Because if we're convinced that he doesn't see us, that he doesn't care about us, that he doesn't have control, are we going to give him control? No, we're going to fight for it. Yes, we're going to try to maintain control. But I think that meditating on what is true, the fact that God is in control, that he does see us, that he cares deeply about the details of our lives, by meditating on what's true, we posture ourselves, we prepare ourselves for facing the things that we're going to have to face in the next 24 hours or 24 years, whatever it may be, the things that we will face that we can't control. And so I think we have to go into life, whether it be in the morning or as we progress through life, we have to prepare ourselves mentally and spiritually and emotionally by meditating. Meditation builds a bridge between what we say we believe and how we actually live.
Yeah, right.
Because how many times do we say that God's in control and live like we're in control? You know, we already talked about that. So meditation helps to wear these new grooves into our mind, and so that our hearts, when we face something we can't control, our hearts more readily fly to the truth. And we're able to remind ourselves, you know what? I just reminded myself this morning that God loves me. He sees me. He's got control over the intricate details that I'm facing in today's activities. And I can trust him.
If we were to talk to your husband and we were to ask him, describe Shannon when you were early married and how this control issue expressed itself in your home, and now 20 years later, how you see Shannon responding to circumstances. And I know it wasn't all bad then and it isn't all good now, but how would he describe, do you think, the transformation that God has been bringing about in your life? What looks different?
Well, for one thing, I'm inviting him more into that process. I'm not my husband and God, right?
Right.
But yeah, I think I'm a little bit more just relaxed about my ideas of how everything should go in our family and our home. I'm a little bit more willing to adjust according to, you know, what my husband thinks about how we should spend the weekend or how we should spend our money or how we should raise our kids.
Which doesn't mean you don't interact with him on that.
Oh, no. Yeah, no. I'm always...
Because I think some people might be envisioning you surrender control and now you have nothing to say and no opinions. That doesn't sound like Shannon to me.
That would be really hard for me.
Well, it's not even really what God's asking for.
No, he isn't. No. Yeah, and so I'm never suggesting that a wife should not give her suggestions or her input to a husband.
So how do you do it differently now?
I think prayer, begin with prayer, and maybe not so much talking. Maybe suggest it once and wait a little while and bring the conversation back to it. But I remember as a young wife, earlier in our marriage, I had started talking to my husband about our kitchen. I felt like our kitchen was too small. And so
You and a few other women.
Probably. I had a solution for this. I thought we should build an addition onto the back of our house. When we first moved into this house, I told him it was my happily ever after house. And now I was telling him it was my happily ever after the addition house. And so I was talking about the addition, probably on a daily basis. I was drawing pictures of the addition and I was, you know, just adding on to it with different details and everything. And my husband was not saying a lot. He was just kind of quiet about it. And so eventually he said, okay, honey, I think maybe we can start saving for this. You know, I can see this is really important to you. This is a dream for you. And so let's start saving for this addition. And so he said, maybe in 5 or 6, 7, 8 years, we'll have enough money for this addition. And so I thought, okay, well, this is good. At least we're starting. But the whole, you know, number of years thing, that needed to
shorten.
Yes, be shortened. And so I was looking for ways to propel this plan forward. And we started, you know, saving money on a yearly basis. Well, about 3 years into saving, we got this unexpected gift in the mail from my husband's parents. And then within another couple of days, we got an unexpected tax return. And then my husband got a bonus all within the same week. And amazingly,
they all had marked on it for the addition, right?
I wish. I was thinking, this is providential, because when you added those three checks together, they exactly made up for what was still lacking in our little fund. And so my husband said, hey, babe, let's go out for dinner and talk about how we're going to spend this money. Sort of a celebration. And so I'm thinking in my little mind, oh, apparently he doesn't know I can add, you know, I already have this all figured out. And so we get out for dinner and he's sitting across the table from me and he's got this big grin from ear to ear. And I'm thinking he's about to tell me, you know, we can do the addition. I had almost called the builder before we went out for dinner, but decided to just hold off for a little bit. So he slides this spreadsheet across the table. And I said, oh, what's this? And I pick up the paper and I'm kind of reading. And there's all these different missions and ministry organizations, nonprofits. And they all have these numbers beside them. And I'm thinking, those are pretty big numbers beside there. And I start scanning the page. My heart's sinking and I'm looking for the addition on the page. And there it is way down on the bottom with a smallish number beside it, the same number from last year.
So he's planning how to give this money away.
He was. And when I looked back into his eyes, I could tell two things. First of all, he had not even considered this money for the addition. And second, he had no idea I was completely counting on it. And so this was a moment. Was I going to be a sweetly surrendered wife? You know, maybe I could give my input. Or was I going to be the control girl? So unfortunately, I chose the latter. I leaned forward and I remember saying to him, do you know it's not wrong for us to spend our own money? You know, we always want for God to lead our husbands and to use our husbands. And ordinarily, I would say that. I want my husband to hear from God. And I love the fact that he has the spiritual gift of giving and he delights in giving. But at that moment, I didn't want him listening to God. I wanted him listening to me.
Wow.
And that's a dangerous place to be as a wife. So many times we feel like we can do a better job of taking command, taking the steering wheel for our families. And so I remember that.
And interestingly, let me just put a parenthesis in here. When we get to the book of Genesis, chapter 3, God says to Adam, because you listened to the voice of your wife, you did this sin. Now, it wasn't wrong for Adam to listen to his wife, except when God was trying to tell him something different, and she was contradicting the voice of God. So there you have a parallel situation when Eve said, I want you to hear me instead of Yes. Listening to God.
And we see it again in Sarah's story. The phrasing is almost identical. Abraham listened to the voice of Sarah, and it's reminding us of what Adam did with Eve.
And got into a really complex, hard situation. Mm. We're going to talk about that in the next program. I want to know what happened in your husband's heart and eyes and spirit when you responded that way.
Oh, he kept saying, "Babe, I thought we decided we were planning for this edition." He was stunned. And you know, he's such a sweet, gracious man. He didn't get angry back. He let me cool off. I remember the evening kind of ending with me being angry and terse and silent and slamming doors. And it took me a few days. This was something I wanted so badly. But for 3 days, I just prayed about it and I wrestled with it. And at the end of that period, I just laid that dream and that hope on the altar. And I said, "God, I do not want to be this ugly, controlling wife that I'm becoming." And I committed before the Lord that I would not bring up the issue of the addition again. He already knew what I wanted. He already knew.
God and your husband both knew.
Yes, yep, the Lord and my husband. But yeah, Ken already knew that was the desire of my heart. And I just purposed before the Lord I wouldn't bring it up. And so I don't remember if it was weeks or months that went by, but one day I remember my husband quietly saying, "You know, I'm just not sure this addition idea is going to work." He said, "Would you be open to considering moving to a new house? I would love for you to have the kind of kitchen that you want." And he said, "I will physically, with my hands, pick up all of our possessions and move us to a new house." He said, "I don't want our mortgage to go up. I want us to just use the money we've saved. Would you just look?" And so I went on realtor.com and I started looking for our neighborhood, our community, and I found one house that met the criteria in our school district. And that's the house that we moved into. And we have a very comfortable home. Our kitchen's not enormous, but it's bigger than it was. And, you know, God has so blessed me every time that I let my husband lead, every time that I choose to surrender. I didn't want it any less, but God shaped my heart and he gave me contentment. And that's what he does when we surrender to him. He gives us hope. He gives us security. He gives us contentment. And he restores our relationships. He brings the peace, the joy that we're hoping for when we try to take control. He gives us all of those gifts when we do the opposite of taking control, when we surrender.
And surrender is what it's all about. Mm. And surrender is what transforms our relationship with the Lord, with ourselves, with others. This thing about control and surrender, it's not just for wives. Mm-mm. It's not just for moms. And it's not just for women. Mm-hmm. It's for women and men, mm-hmm. for all of us as children of God to say, "Lord, you've got the whole world in your hands, mm-hmm. and I'm going to let you be God. Mm-hmm. I'm not going to try to play God. I'm not going to try to be God. Mm-hmm. I'm going to fold my hands. I'm going to hold what I'm responsible for, mm-hmm. and seek you for wisdom to be responsible. Mm-hmm. But then I'm going to fold my hands. I'm going to take my hands off." I used to have a friend in our ministry who would say to me, "Nancy, just when you have something that you're aiming for and you think is really important, you become," and this is going to sound really ugly, but we had the kind of relationship where this was a true friend saying this. Mm-hmm. They said, "You become kind of like a pit bull." Mm. I mean, you hang on to this and you are not going to let it go. Mm-hmm. They said, "When you've got this concern or this thing you think you're right about, and you may be right about it, put your cards on the table and then take your hands mm-hmm. off."
Yeah.
Take your hands off. Mm-hmm. And I don't always do that. I still have some of that pit bull in me mm-hmm. at times. And now that I'm married, it's mm-hmm. coming out in different ways. Mm-hmm. But I find when I'm the pit bull, I make myself and everybody else around me really unhappy.
Absolutely.
I don't get the end I'm hoping for, that great happy ending. Mm-hmm. But when I take my hands off and I trust God to be God, mm-hmm. and I trust God to work in my husband's life, in the ministry, mm-hmm. in our staff, in my future, in all of this, it's amazing what God can do mm-hmm. and will do when we let him.
Yeah, and the transformation that takes place when that's our demeanor. We don't need some huge life event to be transformed. We just need this situation, this day, these kids, this husband, this messy kitchen.
This moment.
This moment. Yeah. This is where the transformation from trying to take control
to being a woman who's sweetly surrendered to the Lord, this is where it takes place.
We've been listening to a conversation between Nancy DeMoss Wohlgemuth and Shannon Popkin about trusting God to control our lives. That includes encouraging husbands to lead. Shannon talks more about that in her book, Control Girl. We'd love for you to have this resource on your bookshelf so you can keep learning from Shannon even after this week. You can learn more about how to get Shannon's book at a link in the transcript of today's episode at reviveourhearts.com or in the Revive Our Hearts app. Because listeners like you give generously to Revive Our Hearts, we're able to keep bringing you practical conversations like you heard today, and we are so grateful to you. In fact, if you'd like to support the ministry this month with a gift of any amount, we'd like to say thank you by giving you a copy of Nancy's book called Surrender, The Heart God Controls. We'll do this when you make a donation of any amount. Now, this book is all about surrendering control of our lives to the Lord and letting Him direct our steps. It's so good to let God be the one in control, and that's what Nancy teaches in this resource. To donate and request your copy of Nancy's book, visit reviveourhearts.com or call us at 1-800-569-5959. Today, we talked about the importance of following when your husband steps out to lead, but what if he's passive and doesn't lead? Shannon and Nancy will be back tomorrow to talk about that. Please be back for Revive Our Hearts. This program is a listener-supported production of Revive Our Hearts in Niles, Michigan, calling women to freedom, fullness, and fruitfulness in Christ.